This is a recording of the May 8th, 2019 Audit and Finance Committee meeting to convene at 4 p.m. at the Chugach Electric Boardroom.
Meeting to order at 4:02. Present in the room, in addition to myself, we have Director Crawford. On the video, we have Director Reeves, and on telephone, we have Director Henderson. We do have a quorum. So at the moment, I will call for the approval, a motion for the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
You're not on the committee. Okay. Was that a second, Jim?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. I have had a request to add under item 7, the meetings of the past week, a brief update. And let the record show that we now have Director Hollis at 4:03. So, Susan, will you take that as a friendly amendment to add to number 5, item 7, number 5, the meetings this past week?
Yes, please.
Okay. All those in favor of approving the agenda?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Okay. Then we have the approval of the minutes. Can I get a motion on the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes as written.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Are there any comments on the minutes? Let me call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. We have no persons to be heard. Is that correct? So we can move right into CEO reports and correspondence.
Madam Chair, we have the first quarter operating budget status report, the capital tracking report, contract status. We have our IRS Form 990 and our financials for the first quarter of 2019. And we would be happy to go through those one at a time or at the pleasure of the committee.
Are there specific questions on the reports listed under 5? Anything on the first quarter operating budget status? Or the first quarter capital tracking report? Contract status? IRS 990.
I do have something we need to talk about on the 990, okay?
Yeah, please come forward.
You guys may have noticed that when you looked in your box, there's no actual 2018 IRS Form 990 for Chugach. We will be filing an extension for Chugach's 2018 Form 990 with the IRS due to changes in the Internal Revenue Code as a result of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. One of the changes resulting from this legislation concerns parking provided to employees, which requires tax-exempt organizations such as Chugach to include costs associated with employee parking as unrelated business taxable income, or UBTI. The NRECA has filed a comment letter regarding this issue and advised cooperatives to file an extension with the IRS, pay the estimated tax, and wait for issues around employee parking and the UBTI to be settled. So the 990 is originally due to be filed on May 15th. When we file the extension, you get an automatic 6-month extension, just as you would with your normal return for your individual returns. So that would extend our filing deadline out to November 15th. So you would expect to see the final 990 for your approval for filing at the November Audit and Finance Committee meeting. If not sooner, we can get it resolved sooner.
Do we have any questions from the committee?
What's the magnitude of that change? How much is the value of total value of the parking?
Total value of the parking is in excess of $120,000. Now, at the current corporate tax rate, that's about 21%. So our preliminary calculations put the range of our tax due in the ballpark of $20,000 to $25,000.
For the parking we provide here?
The parking that we provide to our employees.
Here.
Yes. At all of our locations, if we provide parking to employees, then yes, for personal vehicles or for vehicles, company vehicles that they're allowed to take home with them.
So they would pay a tax on that value?
No.
They wouldn't pay a tax?
No, Chugach pays the tax. Now, if the value of that parking exceeded the monthly allowance of, I believe it's $260 a month, then the employee, we would cross into a threshold where employees might have to pay a tax on that. But at this point in time, the costs that we have for associated with parking don't meet that threshold. So Chugach at this time would be the only ones paying the tax on that parking.
And we pay on the tax on the parking because?
It's been disallowed as a qualified fringe benefit.
Is that a new change in the tax law?
For everyone?
For everyone. This applies to all organizations. So whether you're taxable or non-taxable, the difference with a tax-exempt organization is now we not only are we having to recognize the cost of that parking we're providing to employees, but we have to pay a tax on that cost because we're going to have to calculate it and include it as taxable income.
How many employees use the parking?
About 230 people, I believe. Because you not only have to count your own employees, but any parking you provide to vendors who come, like contractors that work for you, they're considered employees.
So it's based on parking spaces?
Yes.
Excuse me, this is Jim, but I am not sure where you're at, and I read this whole thing, so a little direction would be great.
We're talking about the 990 that is not in the packet because we're filing for an extension, and we're talking about the reasons why. So we are on 5D.
Okay, so I don't have that 990 to look at.
No,
correct.
You don't.
That's why I'm not.
Correct. We're talking about why there's a delay.
What are the alternatives to providing parking?
That's kind of a tricky question, and it kind of depends on your situation. Some people might consider expanding their parking facilities so that there's more parking available to the general public, so that their employees aren't taking up a majority of the parking area, and that would allow you to fall below one of the threshold tests so that you wouldn't have to pay a tax on that.
And the parking we're providing is where?
We have parking at a number of our facilities. We obviously have parking at all of our power plants. But most of the parking that we have is around our headquarters building.
And the option for not having that available is park street?
Well, we have to have the parking.
I'm just asking. I didn't say that. I said I need to know the alternative. I'm kind of curious why is apparently this is a city tax that they are demanding.
No, this would be a federal tax.
Federal tax.
Yes, this is getting rolled out across the country. It affects all organizations.
But one alternative would be to charge the employees $40 a month to park.
That could be an option.
Well,
a very popular one, I'm sure.
Well, most people pay for parking, but not at their, not in a business. It just seems goofy. There's got to be a solution. That's stupid, because we don't get any benefit from that. We provide that as a benefit for our employees. And
no, there's not benefit. That's so they can go to work. I mean, you know, now if I lived in D.C., I would take public transportation, and a few of the folks, you know, senior management may be provided parking garage. So this applies to every car that's parked throughout the nation, that people at work?
Yes, every organization that has parking available to their employees, whether it's in a garage or if they have, they pay a fee and cover the fee for their employee to park at a garage. It's a little unclear what ultimately their intention was when they rolled out this legislation. Some have speculated that it was a way of capturing some of those excessive costs that maybe some inner city organizations cover for their employees' parking.
So I'm going to take Director Crawford, and then we'll see where the conversation goes. Director Crawford.
I just talked to my son, who he works in downtown Seattle, and they pay a lot for parking, and they just got it in their contract with the Carpenters Union that they would get a portion of their parking paid. So now they're going to get taxed on it because it's becoming such a big deal across the country, you know, for how expensive downtown parking is in the big cities.
One more question. The expansion, the extension is because we're waiting for the dust to settle because there's a big dust up about this and we think perhaps things will be different later?
Yes. There are currently people who are trying to get some portion, if not all, of that piece repealed. There's a large number of people who have recognized that this may have had an unintended impact on some of the rural cooperatives or the not-for-profits around the country. So there are a number of people who are working to contact their senators and their representatives, to write letters, to reach out to the IRS, and to see if there is some way we can resolve this issue.
And okay. The NRACA is working on our behalf for all the co-ops as well.
Nice. So what I'm going to suggest, I'm taking the floor as the chair. What I'm going to suggest is that we have a certain level of fascination with this because it's so interesting and strange and new that is separate than what we need to do in terms of our business tonight. So I am going to ask that we understand that the material information we're being presented with is that our 990 is delayed, there are potential tax implications, that our crew is on it. And I am going to ask the committee if they have any really further questions. Would you be available by email for specific questions about this?
Absolutely.
All right. So with that, I'm going to move us on to the next agenda item. Can we have the variance?
What date was that implemented?
That act came out in 2017. I believe that was at the end of December. It had many impacts to a lot of internal revenue code.
Okay, thank you.
How about the variance report?
This is Susan. I just have a comment on at page 26 that we have a revised forecast. We haven't amended our budget, but we have a revised forecast. And as I understand it, under the revised forecast, we think we're going to be able to meet the amended budget. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, so you do have an amended budget. So the first quarter budget status report is included, which amended the board-approved budget. The board-approved budget is in column 1. The amended budget is in column 2. actuals through March are in column 3, and then you're right, we're the revised forecast, which changes monthly, is in the fourth column.
Right, and the amendment was $118,000.
That's correct.
Yep, let's just kick off.
We'll get started on covering the financial results of the first quarter for the association. We'll review our usual financial statements, statement of operations, balance sheet, and statement of cash flow for the first quarter. Starting with our retail sales, our general trend is continuing. We're seeing declining sales. Compared to 2018, we're 2.4% below sales from 2018 in the first quarter of 2019. However, we are 1.9% above budget. We got more conservative in our budgeting for megawatt hour sales, and we came out a little bit ahead on that side. For our wholesale customer, Seward, we were almost exactly on budget, less than 1% variance, and about 1.5% below the sales for 2018. Because our sales were a little bit higher than we had budgeted overall, on page slide 5, we can see that our operating revenues came in a little bit higher than we had budgeted by $1 million. That is somewhat offset by our purchase power, which was $1.7 million higher than we anticipated. You combine that with the fuel of $1 million, so we're about $712,000 variance in fuel. We purchased more power than we had anticipated from MLMP and MEA during the first quarter. The rest of our operating expenses are fairly close. On a net basis, the variance is $164,000. So our total operating expenses are $876,000 over what we had budgeted. And our margins are $68,000 below what we had budgeted. Part of that is our interest expense is $282,000 higher than we had anticipated, just because the rates popped up a little higher than we anticipated in the first quarter. But we're very close overall to what we had budgeted for margins for the first quarter.
Madam Chair, I think one thing to bring up on purchase power is that we had the transmission line out of service with the maintenance, so we were unable to take our Bradley Lake power north, and instead we were buying from MLMP and MEA at a higher cost. I think when you look at the end of the year, I think everything will wash out, but in this first quarter we had that line out of service.
Okay, thank you.
The next slide is our pie chart that depicts our $53.7 million in operating interest expense for the first quarter. It's interesting that things that we don't have a whole lot of control over, purchase power, fuel, and interest expense, those are driven a lot by market forces. That's 50% exactly of our operating interest expense cost. The next slide, slide 7, is very similar to what you'll see in more detail on page 3 of your 10Q, our balance sheet. Net utility plant for the first quarter only changed by $1 million. What we added was pretty much offset by depreciation. One thing I do want to point out here is we do have a new line on the balance sheet, and that's operating lease, right of use assets. This is the result of us implementing ASC 842, the lease accounting standard, that we spent so much of last year analyzing and looking at all of our contracts. The two operating leases we had to add to our balance sheet as a result of all that analysis was the Building G lease. We have a 5-year lease that just renewed at the beginning of this year, and we have a small postage meter that we ended up adding to the balance sheet here. So. But it is something a little bit different. Other than that, overall, total assets changed $4.8 million compared to the end of the year, which is less than a half percent change. And on the liability side, you'll see the other side of that lease transaction. We have operating lease liabilities right above long-term obligations of $750,000. That's the portion of the lease liabilities that are due 12 months or more further out. The current installments are included under current installments of long-term obligations, and it just happens that it's exactly that 183-983 difference. So if you add the 750, 388, and the 183-983, it will match the $900,000 number on the asset side of the balance sheet. We increased our commercial paper by $24 million and basically used that to make our bond payments and debt payments in the first quarter, which you can see probably even a little more clearly on the statement of cash flows. Statement of cash flows is on page 7 of your 10-Q. We start with bringing forward from page 5, slide 5, the $2.4 million in margins for the year. We add back our depreciation and amortization, adjust for changes in operating assets and liabilities, and end up with $6.9 million in cash provided by operating activities. We cash flows from investing activities, basically $10 million, almost $11 million in extension of replacement of plant. We did cash out some of our marketable securities, so that came out of there and went into operating cash. And we have $414,000 we got in patronage dividends from CoBank. And then the cash flows from financing activities, you can see the increase of $24 million in the commercial paper offset by the $24 million in repayments of debt. So we started the year with $7.4 million in cash and ended the quarter with $5.9 million in cash. Any questions?
Any other questions? Susan, you have a question?
Well, I just wondered if somebody could change something so I could see the screen, because all I see is an empty chair. Now I see you.
Now you see me?
Yeah, but I still don't see the screen. Is there anything on the screen?
No.
Not anymore.
Okay, well.
It was the variance report.
Well, I was looking, that's why I flipped off, because I went over to
So you, okay. If you were following that, you saw what we saw.
Yeah, I saw what you saw.
That's always good. Okay. We are on to the first quarter financial information. Do you have anything?
I think that was what we just went
through. I'm sorry.
Yep.
We are on to executive session. So I need a motion. I am ready for a motion.
I will move that pursuant to Alaska Statute 10.25.175C1, the Board of Directors, Audit and Finance Committee go into executive session to discuss and receive reports regarding financial matters, the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the cooperative.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We are in executive session. Okay, let's exit executive session. So we are back on the agenda outside of executive session under new business, item 8. So item A under item 8. Do I
Madam Chair, I move that the Audit and Finance Committee recommend management file the Securities and Exchange Commission Form 10-Q by the due date, incorporating any amendments to the document, which will be reviewed and approved by KPMG. Mr. Hayhurst and Ms. Hires will immediately inform the board in writing of any material or significant changes.
So moved. Is there a second? Great. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Call for the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Next item of business.
8B.
Yes. I have just scrolled into the wrong place. Okay. Anybody got a motion?
I do, Madam Chair. I will move that the Audit and Finance Committee recommend to the Board of Directors to approve the tax services for FY 2019.
So moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Excellent. Any discussion? I'll call the question. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Aye. Carries, and we are on to the annual review, and this is just discussion, right? We don't take any action. Yeah. Okay. Any need to discuss the changes that were brought to our attention? Yep.
No.
Okay. With that, I think we are on to director comments. Let's start with the committee. Director Henderson.
Thank you. The complexity was fun to listen to. I enjoyed it. I really do enjoy those things. And I thank you for your guys' effort.
Excellent. Excellent. Director Reeves?
Well, I would just say that the private sessions that the board has with the auditors, which we only started about a year ago, are just really good and really helpful. And I'm glad we're doing that.
Dr. Hollis?
I would again like to thank Lee and the staff, the management group, for being so well prepared. You answer our questions without question, I guess, without hesitation, and I just feel like you are on top of the issues here, and it's reassuring to me see that when a question is asked, nobody looks around the room for the answer. And I want you to know that I very much appreciate that.
Great. Director Crawford.
My only comment is I hope those interest rates and all hold steady.
You know, it's fun being the CEO with a board like we have. And I can tell you, when we're sitting in front of the rating agencies, it's fun to brag about what a great team we have. So thank you very much. You know, we've gone through a lot. You guys ask fantastic questions. You're very well informed. You provide great input. And so thank you very much.
Great. I'll just add, that was everyone, right? Yep. I'll just add that I am grateful for the strategic planning session that we had a couple months ago, where we really went over the different tools that you use to mitigate interest rate risk in a lot of detail and let the board ask a lot of questions and really take time out for that. I know we debated whether or not we had the time to do that, but that has been very helpful as we have repeated now kind of bringing these things forward. I feel much more informed than I would have hadn't done that session. And I know it always happens at a time when we have to set aside daily operations to do that level of work. So I appreciate that. I continue to think that I have a handle on how complex this deal is. And then I come to another meeting and I am just awed at the team that we have at Chugach and the way that you guys are able to keep on top of it and keep handling it, keep taking those bite-sized chunks and making them possible. Really grateful tonight for the opportunity and the privilege to be part of this. So. With that, I will take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second? Is there a second? Yep, okay. I see that from Director Reeves. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, we are adjourned.